about forgiveness. And at the very end, I'll share why. A student at seminary explains how his professor taught him about forgiving each other. One of my teachers had each of us bring a clear plastic bag to class and a bag of potatoes to class. For every person we had refused to forgive in our life, we were told to choose a potato, write a name on it, or write the name on it, the date, and put it in the plastic bag. Some of our bags, as you can imagine, were quite heavy. We were then told to carry this bag with us everywhere we went for 1 week, putting it beside our bed at night, on the car seat when driving, next to our desk at work. The hassle of lugging this around with us made it clear what a weight we were carrying spiritually and how we had to pay attention to it all the time in order not to forget and leave it behind. Naturally, the condition of the potatoes deteriorated to a nasty slime and an awful smell. This was a great metaphor for the price we pay for failing to forgive and to let go of the hurt and the anger. Too often, we think of forgiveness as a gift to the other person. While that is, of course, true, it is clearly also a gift to ourselves. There's absolutely no doubt that we should call forgiveness a change agent. At least that's what I like to call it. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, we read these words: "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So the word of God is very practical. It's actually very personal. And it's very powerful. What makes forgiveness so crucial to who we are as Christ followers is that, well, it's the way Paul has simply put it in the verse I just shared with you. And it's powerful, isn't it? As God in Christ forgave you. Let me remind you, I'm not sure that I need to, but I'm going to anyway. Let me remind you that when we celebrate communion, which we usually do on the first Sunday of every month, we're doing much more than giving thanks for the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're also, as well, giving thanks that God has forgiven us. That forgiveness is fundamental to our relationship with Jesus Christ and actually to our relationships with each other. One of the most difficult things, at least this is my experience, one of the most difficult things that we are called on to do as Christ followers, maybe for some of us the most difficult, is to forgive others. If you, for some strange reason, think that it's easy, then it's possible you've never done it. And praise the Lord, maybe you've never had to do it. Are there those who this morning, like that theological student, are actually carrying around with them day after day a rotten, stinking bag of unforgiveness? This morning, I want us to consider a few principles for forgiving others. And I should mention that this outline is not original with me. And I think it says at the bottom of your bulletin that I've taken this from another pastor. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of the will. It may be good as we consider the following principles that we actually take a moment and think, is there anyone this morning that I need to forgive or that you need to forgive? And you know, as I was going through this both yesterday and today, I realized that sometimes, actually too often, I have a main sense of humor, and sometimes I don't say things that I should say. I do say things that I shouldn't say, okay? And I'm not a very sensitive person either. And so there may be others of you like me who you say things and you don't really mean anything by it, and you're expecting me to come and ask for forgiveness. And it's probably not going to happen because I don't realize I need to do that. Some of you may be like that. But if you're really struggling with taking that crucial first step of asking for forgiveness, sometimes people simply say things, I don't feel like forgiving them. What's the problem with that response? Well, it's that first principle covers it, doesn't it? Forgiveness is not something that is based on our feelings. Jesus doesn't say, if you feel like it, forgive. He simply commands us to forgive. And he commands us to do it over and over and over and over. I could go on a long time. Again, listen to these words found in Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. I like that figure. It's supposed to be a special number, isn't it? In the scripture, seven times sounds pretty generous to me. How does Jesus respond? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Think about that for a moment. So forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a command. Those of us who are Christ followers do not base our Christian lives on our feelings. We live by faith and obedience to Jesus Christ and his word. When John Wesley was a missionary in colonial America, he met a general named James Oglethorpe. He was at that time the governor of Georgia. As they discussed one of the governor's enemies, the general said this, I never forget and I never forgive. To which Wesley replied, then, sir, I hope you never sin. The only person who can afford the luxury of unforgiveness is the person who never needs forgiveness. The second principle, forgiveness is not forgetting, it's an intentional letting go. This may be the most difficult, at least that's my experience, the most difficult principle when it comes to forgiveness. You have probably heard the saying, forgive and forget. Easy for me to say, but the forgetting can be very, very difficult, depending on how sharp the wound is that you've suffered. Then there are those who will say, well, I will forgive, but I won't forget. And of course, if you choose not to forget, then it's not real forgiveness. Having said that, depending on how severe the hurt is, forgetting can be a process that takes a very, very long time. In other words, only time will erase the memory of that hurt. Remember the way that God forgives us. We read these words in Isaiah chapter 43. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. You know, that's almost worth stopping and saying, thank you, Lord, isn't it? Because it's so amazing that that's the way God's forgiveness operates in our lives. So when God forgives our sins, he chooses not to remember them anymore. I think of a blackboard, and probably the younger people here don't even have a clue what a blackboard is. But you write on it with chalk, and you take a thing called an eraser. And when you erase it, it's gone. It's fantastic, isn't it? I think we should bring those back. But that's the way it is with God, isn't it? When he forgives us our sins, he forgets. He doesn't remember them anymore. Clara Barton was the American heroine who founded the Red Cross. Once a friend reminded her of a vicious deed someone had done to her years before. Clara Barton acted as if she had never heard of the painful incident. Her friend asked, "Don't you remember it?" Clara Barton replied, "No. I distinctly remember choosing to forget it." When the Moravian missionaries first went to the Eskimos and began translating the scripture into their language, they could not find a single word for forgiveness. You know, I think, isn't that really sad? Not a single word for forgiveness. So they had to compose one. The word is a compound word made up of some 24 letters, and it should come on the screen. There it is. And I tried pronouncing it this morning, and I can't do it. Maybe you can. But the most important thing is the literal meaning of that unpronounceable word. Not being able to think about it anymore. Isn't that a good definition for forgiveness? Not being able to think about it anymore. When Jesus forgives our sin, that is the action that he takes. And that is exactly what he asks from us, from you, and from me. It is a choice that we make when we forgive someone. Charles Spurgeon, I don't know if you know his name, a very well-known preacher from the UK. He's been gone a long time, but this is what he said. Forgive and let it go. Now, I don't know how he knows about this, but when you bury a mad dog, don't leave his tail above the ground. That's what forgiveness is all about. You bury the deed in your subconscious and refuse to go digging it up. And I can tell you from my own personal experience that it's hard to do that. Very hard. Sad thing is, preparing for this morning, some things popped up that should have been buried long, long time ago. Forgiveness is not cheap, but it is better than revenge or getting even. Remember, it was Jesus who said the following in Matthew 18. Not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 77 times. Wow. Jesus follows these words with a parable to drive home the point about not getting even. I'm sure you'll remember this parable. The parable is about a manager who owed his boss several $1 million. Can you imagine that? He begged his boss for the debt to be forgiven, and the boss actually agreed. He forgave this incredible debt. Then that same manager went out and he met a man who owed him a few $1,000s. He grabbed the man by the throat and demanded that he repay the debt. The manager had the man arrested and thrown into prison until he could repay the debt. Because God has forgiven us our debt, a debt that we can never, ever repay, we must be willing to forgive others. We must remember that our forgiveness carries with it a terrible cost, and we often lose sight of this. It was not cheap. Our pardon was purchased by the very blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness always costs something. In The Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare has Shylock ask several very human questions that I'm sure we can all identify with. If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? If you wrong us, shall we not seek revenge? Sadly, there are those who would prefer to seek revenge instead of offering forgiveness in this present day and age. Jesus taught that we should not be the kind of person who tries to get even, even when someone has hurt us and hurt us badly. Look again, or look this time at Matthew chapter 5, and listen to these words. And, you know, as I was reading them again the past couple of days, it just struck me so much how the Lord calls us to be different. And I was sharing with the elders, actually this week, I think it was this week in an email, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Philippians translation, Philip's translation. And it simply says this: don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. And boy, here's some revolutionary words by Jesus. And it's, I think most of us as pastors, we try to kind of explain them away as best we can. Listen. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. I think I've shared this with you before. There's some scriptures I don't like. I have to be honest with you. And this is definitely one of them. It is a tough passage, but it's a revolutionary concept, isn't it? Basically, I think Jesus is saying, you know, don't take revenge. Jesus introduced this revolutionary concept, the concept of grace. That is not responding in anger, but giving people what they really need, which is forgiveness. Forgiveness is expensive, and it is, well, as well, I believe, a change agent It may not change the person that you forgive, but you will find that it changes you. Forgiveness is not easy. It is impossible, really, without God's power. There's no doubt that forgiveness is one of the hardest things that we will ever do. And it's not possible to really do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people say, I just can't forgive them for what they have done to me. It's true, but you will experience an amazing change when you let God forgive them through you. Here are four commitments. Actually, it's these four principles that we need to make if forgiveness is going to work for us, if forgiveness is going to be a part of who we are. First is this: choose not to think about the offense. Choose not to think about the offense. The second is this: determine you will not harm the person who has hurt you. Sometimes you read in the news, don't you? Well, I saw two different stories this week. One about a young black man that was gunned down by a police officer. And the mother, and I can identify with this, she said, I hope that police officer, because he was let go, he was found innocent. And she said, I hope that man cannot sleep any night. But then I read another story. I'm trying to remember the context, but that man said, I've forgiven him for the awful thing that he has done. And again, it was the taking of another life. What a contrast. What a difference. And, you know, I've agonized over, could I forgive? I guess I won't know until the test comes. But that's the challenge, isn't it? Third, do not bring this offense up again. And finally, fourth one is, do not let this hurt stand between you. You see, so true forgiveness wipes the slate clean and restores the broken relationship. Do you know the name Corrie Ten Boom? Yeah. She was imprisoned by the Nazis during World War II because her family provided a hiding place for Jews when they were being arrested and deported and eventually killed. She and her sister, Bessie, were sent to Ravensbrück, where horrible torture, rape, and death occurred on a regular basis. Bessie died in the prison camp, but Corrie, miraculously, she survived. She became an effective Christian author. She has a powerful book of her testimony and a speaker. In 1947, she was invited to speak in Munich, Germany. That evening, she spoke on the topic of forgiveness. How God buries our sins in the depths of the sea. After her talk, she was approached by a man who looked familiar to her. Initially, it was just vaguely familiar. I know that man. Then with horror, she recognized him as one of the cruelest guards at the concentration camp there in Ravensbrück. She remembered the shame of walking naked in front of this very man. Suddenly, all the fear and hatred returned in a flash. He said to her, in your talk, you mentioned Ravensbrück. I was a guard there. But since that time, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from you as well, Fräulein. He held out his hand to Corrie and said, will you forgive me? Corrie wrote this about that encounter. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me. I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one outstretched to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. We're going to pray together. Let's stand as we pray. And on the screen is going to come the Lord's Prayer, actually from the New Living Translation. So it's a little bit different. And you can decide to just close your eyes and listen. Or if you like, you can pray together with me. And you'll see why I chose this prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but react from evil. Amen. Let me remind you of the verses that follow, which are as powerful as what we call the Lord's Prayer. Also found in Matthew chapter 6. This is what Jesus says. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank you so much